Thank you, Mr. Kester. Good to see everybody today. Happy Sabbath. Hello on the webcast. Glad you're watching. I have a stretching question for you. How many of you stretch as much as you know you need to? Anybody? Wait, first I should ask, how many know that you need to stretch? I know personally that I should stretch regularly. However, my usual practice is the opposite of that. It's just working without stretching until I, to some muscle group that I have, gets so tight that I can barely move, and then finally, due to pain and restricted range of motion, I'm left with no other option than to stop and stretch. I don't know why I avoid regular stretching. I know that it would be helpful and it would make me feel better during the day, and it could prevent injuries. I know it can help, and I know it would, but I just tend to wait. I tend to just ignore it. I used to build pole buildings for a while, and just a short time I did it. In Ohio, before I attended ABC, I built pole barns for a guy in the church. And I remember we got this one job that was on the grounds of a big hospital. And on this specific job, we had to be very careful that we were following the rules by the books, especially when it came to OSHA and safety guidelines. Not that we didn't always, you know, follow the rules, but I remember this particular time, it's the first time I'd ever seen mandatory stretching. Maybe some of you have seen that before in your line of work. Mandatory stretching at the beginning of the day. And I thought it was kind of hilarious. I was like, is this a joke? Is this really happening? And I remember it's the first time I ever seen it. It was all these guys in flannel and hard hats, and they bring them all together in a group, and there's this one person leading the group. And these men, these burly men who are normally making fun of each other and acting tough, bossing each other around, being sarcastic all day, they're all being told to bend over and touch their toes or, you know, hold their arm over like this. And it just looks hilarious. I couldn't help but laugh even thinking about it. Mandatory stretching. What a hilarious idea. It's like changing your tire before it goes flat. Makes no sense. So I'm kidding, but hopefully conveying some truth at the same time. I know I can speak for me at least. When it comes to stretching, I usually end up waiting until the problem is so bad and the pressure is so intense that it has to be dealt with because I can't move any further. I'll share one other story before we get into it. I went biking. It's been a few years ago now. I think I've told you about this before. And actually, Mr. Fay told a story last time he spoke, I think, about a similar experience. But this is an experience also with Roger Griswold. Prior to that one, we did the same trail. We went and did the McKenzie River Trail, 26 miles downhill, they said. And we decided to go ride this trail, me and Roger and a couple other guys, and I didn't prepare at all, and nor did any of us, I don't think. And then we just took our bikes and went. First few miles, it was pretty fun. About 15 miles in or so, I started to realize that 26 miles downhill didn't actually mean 26 miles that were all downhill. There's a lot of uphill along that trail, and I kept pedaling through the pain, and finally my legs started cramping. And I was only about a mile from the end of the trail, but I didn't know that I was that close because I'd never ridden that trail before. And I got to this point where I would push each pedal down, and as I pushed it down, my leg would cramp straight, and it would lock. My quad was cramping, and my leg would lock, and I would crash my bike. And so I ended up laying on my back in the middle of the trail and trying to stretch my legs while I was laying there. But the problem was when I would bend my leg behind me to stretch my quads, my calves would cramp. And then when I would straighten it out to stretch my calves, my quads would cramp. And so I was just laying there on the ground, like, and I couldn't really do much. Finally, I made it to the end of the trail after a painful series of cramping, crashing, and stretching. And I learned my lesson, which was never, ever go ride bikes with Roger Griswold. Not really, though, but the real lesson was I should have been prepared. Maybe I should have done some stretching beforehand or maybe ridden a bike a few days beforehand. So let's get into it and turn over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to talk about stretching today, if you hadn't gathered that. name of today's message is spiritual stretching. Spiritual stretching. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 12 to get started. First Corinthians 12. We're going to look at some information on physical stretching. But before we do, I want us to consider this metaphor used by Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. We're going to start in verse 12. Read through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can we stop right there for a second? Why do you think Paul said this? You think this is a natural tendency for humans? I think it is. He knew that. And it was for them then, it is for us now. I need to be more like this other person. They sure seem to have it all together, or, you know, why can they do that and I can't, or whatever. It's a natural tendency, I feel it. Moving on, verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? It sounds here like we're being asked to celebrate diversity. That phrase is used these days in ways that I'm not okay with, but I think that is what it's asking us to do here in a very good way. He's not speaking of sexual diversity, but diversity in strengths, diversity in skills and personalities and backgrounds. We're all different, and we're all good at different things. We shouldn't all try to be the eye. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. He's got us right where He wants us. Verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? In other words, if all the parts weren't here, we wouldn't even have a body. Nobody wants a bag of eyeballs. It's not very useful. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. I think that's really interesting. Giving greater honor to that part which lacks it. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So I want us to remember this passage and this metaphor that Paul used and kind of wear these glasses as we go through the rest of the message. So what does stretching look like? Physically, spiritually, what does stretching look like? What we're going to do is we're going to look at a few types of stretching defined to get a clearer picture. And we're going to draw some analogies. A few types of stretching. Found this at web.mit.edu, an article on stretching. Very informative if you want to check that out. But I'll pretty much tell you the whole thing. So I want to make sure we have those 1 Corinthians 12 glasses on as we go through this. But we're going to go through four different types of stretching. Four different types. The first is ballistic stretching. By the way, before I looked into this, I didn't know that there were four types. I thought there was only one type. We'll get to that one. But this one is ballistic stretching. Ballistic stretching uses the momentum of a moving body or a limb in an attempt to force it beyond its normal range of motion. This is stretching or warming up by bouncing into or out of stretched position. This is using the stretched muscles as a spring, which pulls you out, in or out of the stretched position. For instance, bouncing down repeatedly to touch your toes. You've seen somebody do that probably before. This type of stretching is not considered useful, and it can lead to injury. It does not allow your muscles to warm up. It does not allow your muscles to adjust to or relax in the stretched position. Instead, it may cause them to tighten up by repeatedly activating the stretch reflex, they say. So what does this look like spiritually? Ballistic stretching, kind of fast jerking motions while you're trying to stretch and warm up. It's not very effective, and it can actually do damage. What does that look like spiritually? Trying to force a part of the body beyond its range of motion. Have you ever been forced beyond your range of motion? Maybe. Maybe you forced yourself into a position. It can cause damage. Ballistic stretching. We try to avoid that. The next one is dynamic stretching. Dynamic stretching involves moving parts of your body and gradually increasing reach, speed of movement, or both. Do not confuse dynamic stretching, though, with ballistic. Dynamic consists of controlled leg and arm swings that take you gently to the limits of your range of motion. Ballistic stretching, on the other hand, involves trying to force the body part beyond its range of motion. So, but in dynamic stretches, there are no bounces or jerky movements. An example of dynamic stretching would be slow, controlled leg swings or arm swings or maybe torso twists. What would it look like to do dynamic stretching spiritually, to be a dynamic member of the body of Christ? Moving slowly, slowly to the limits of your range of motion. We're going to look at two more types and look a little deeper into those two. Those two are active and passive. Active stretching and passive stretching. So active stretching is basically just using your own muscles, using your own muscles to stretch. Active stretching is also referred to as static active stretching. An active stretch is one where you assume a position and then you hold it there with no assistance other than the strength of your own muscles. And they use a word called agonist, your agonist muscles, which are the muscles that directly move a part of your body. For example, bringing your leg up high and then holding it there without anything else, without using anything else. So you're not holding it with your hands, you're not using the floor or the wall or a chair, you're just bringing it up on its own power. This would be active stretching. The tension of the agonists, so the active muscles in an active stretch, they help to relax the muscles being stretched, or the antagonists. So as you lift your leg and hold it, you have some muscles that are working and some that are being stretched or relaxing at the same time. And you shouldn't hold these for too long, 10 or 15 seconds. Many of the movements or stretches found in various forms of yoga are active stretches. So I'm not promoting yoga specifically, but I am promoting stretching, both physical and spiritual. What does an active stretch look like in the body of Christ? When certain muscles are active, others can rest. There's value in that. Is there anyone here in this room who works so that you don't have to? I know probably many of you grew up in the same boat that I was in. I grew up in a small church congregation where we had one chair crew and one sound crew and one coffee crew, and it was all the same crew. And they're always on duty. And so one thing I'm really thankful for here in this congregation is that we have enough people and enough willing volunteers that we can have two chair crews. Two. So we can rotate. And it's amazing. And when one crew is active, the other crew can relax a little bit for a while. And then we come back ready to sling more chairs after we've had a month off. But that's an amazing thing, and that's a normal function of a healthy body, active stretching. Certain muscles are working, other ones don't have to for a time, and then you can alternate. It's the way a body should function. So now we move on to passive stretching. Passive stretching is also referred to as relaxed stretching. This is the type that was the only one I was aware of beforehand. A passive stretch is one where you assume a position and you hold it with some other part of your body, or with the assistance of a partner or some apparatus like the wall or the floor or whatever. Passive stretching is the normal thing. You know, you put your arm here and you hold it with the other arm. So the one that I'm stretching is passive, or you hold your leg or whatever. So you're stretching the muscle passively. Is there any passive stretching going on here in the body of Christ? Think about that. Have you ever been volunteered for anything? Maybe voluntold for anything? Have you ever been the stretcher? Are you the stretcher or the stretchee? Passive stretching is good for the body. It's a great way to stretch. It's my favorite. But you have to be careful not to pull a muscle. For example, bringing your leg up high and then holding it there with your hand, using one muscle group to pull another. Thinking of these different types of stretching, we're going to talk about some different areas that these can be applied, and also look at some examples in Scripture of where they were. Not only physically, but also mentally, socially, and spiritually. Mentally, socially, and spiritually. So first we're going to look at mental stretching. Mentally is obviously inward. It happens within us, in our minds, and our brains. This is pushing ourselves mentally to use the minds that God gave us, make right choices, control our thoughts, meditate. This is what mental stretching looks like. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. You may already be close there. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This takes mental stretching, mental exercise. This is pushing ourselves to do something that's not normal, not standard. How about Moses? Let's turn over to Exodus 4. Think of Moses. You think he was stretched a little bit mentally, and probably other ways as well? Exodus 4 and verse 10. Exodus 4 and verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So God wanted Moses to be the spokesman. Moses is reluctant, complaining. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But that wasn't enough for Moses. He said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he's also coming out to meet you. So when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you should do." Anyone here have a fear of public speaking? Can you imagine being asked to do what Moses was asked to do? Would you have reacted any differently? God was attempting to help Moses out here with some passive stretching. Hey, let me stretch you a little. I know what you can handle. I know what you can take. God knows how far we can go, and he will take us there if we let him. But like a stubborn construction worker, Moses floundered around, and God made it happen another way. God's plan moves forward, whether we're on board or not. So there's mental stretching that must be done. There's also social stretching or outgoing. So the mental is inward, and then there's the outward. Reacting with other people, interacting with other people. It doesn't come naturally to everybody either. Applying ourselves to help others. This may look like signing up to take on more responsibility. It may look like just agreeing to help someone or to do a good thing, even when it means stepping outside your circle of comfort. This can look like volunteering or serving at work or at church or in the community. These are all ways that we can stretch ourselves. We can step outside what we would normally do. We can reach a little further. We can swing just to the edge of our normal range of motion and maybe go a smidge further. This is the type of stretching that's required to accomplish tasks such as bridging the gap. We talk about bridging the gap between the generations in the church congregation that we're in here. This is a stretch. It's a stretch for everybody, for the people on both sides of that gap. Literally, you would have to stretch to reach toward the other side. And that's why we don't do it. I mean, that's why we don't do it naturally. It hurts. It's hard. Stretching is a little uncomfortable. And we think, you know, oh, this feels kind of hard. Should I be doing this on the Sabbath? No, let's just relax. I mean, this could look like a lot of things, social stretching. It could look like an introvert reaching out to another introvert to break through the wall of awkwardness. This could look like an extrovert keeping his mouth shut for like 5 or 6 seconds maybe, just as his heart beats out of his chest as he waits through the silence until someone else can drop a thought into the conversation. It could show itself in lots of ways. Forgive me, I realize my printer left a page of my notes out, so I'm finding that now. Thankfully, I brought this, so that's pretty close. So there's mental stretching, there's social stretching, and then there's spiritual stretching. Spiritual stretching. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 18. Verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise, same could be said for stretching. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. And I guess we can go on through verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Spiritual stretching is saying yes to the new man and saying no to the old. Both require stretching on our part. So it can look like self-denial, saying no to the carnal things that tempt us, or it can look like reaching for those things that are right and true and godly. It's interesting to me how we are all so different. We're not all the same. We're not number two pencils. I was talking with a friend recently and explaining to him that I'm having to learn how to say no, especially since I got married. I'm having to learn, and that's not no to my wife, by the way. That's no to everybody else. So I'm kind of a natural yes kind of a guy. I want to say yes to everybody. And when you're young and single, you can do that for a while. And then at some point, that strategy kind of stops working. And you realize, oh, I've triple booked myself. There's no way I can do all this stuff at once. And then when you have a family, that's more responsibility. So I was talking with a friend recently, explaining to him, you know, this thing I deal with and my natural inclination to say yes. And he told me I could share this. And he also told me that part of learning to say yes to God is learning to direct your personal lives in such a way to make yourself available to Him. I hadn't thought of that before. Saying no to things that steer you away from doing the things that are important to God is saying yes to Him. So saying no to the world sometimes is what it means. A solid godly marriage puts you in a position to be used by Him and others. Having a solid budget and being fiscally responsible lends itself to opportunities for God, which includes saying no to lots of things. Raising your kids with respect and humility, it leads others to seek your counsel, and gives God the path to have you be His messenger. This also requires a lot of no's. A lot of no's. Saying no to things that would take us away from God is the same thing as saying yes to God. We must say yes to God's way, though, even when it stretches us. So, you know, we're all getting older. No matter how old we are, we're all getting older. That's a fact. And I know for me, when I was in school, this is just a random side note. When I was in school, my fingers on my hands, I could bend them all the way back, like 90 degrees backwards. Some of you young people can probably still do that right now. Yep, he can do it. I could bend everyone, all four of them, just all the way back. And I remember there was one day, I hadn't done it in a while, and I thought, I need to stretch my fingers. And I went to do it, and they wouldn't go. It's just like that, just like a wall. And they stopped. It's like it changed overnight. All of a sudden, I can't do it, and I never have been able to do it since. Use it or lose it. We use it or we lose it. Hebrews 5:14, my favorite verse. I'm never ashamed to go there. I'm going to go there again. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Brethren, are we exercising? Are we stretching? If we don't use it, we will lose it. You know, another thing I used to do, I used to fold my legs up over each other and swing around on my hands. And I can't do that anymore either without excruciating pain. Don't ask me how I know. If we don't push ourselves, though, to these limits regularly, this is physical and spiritual, the limits themselves will recede. So another thing that I'm running into right now with needing to stretch more and more as I get older is stretching involves a little bit of pain. I mean, it shouldn't be excruciating if you're doing it properly, but, you know, there's a little bit of pain there. There's some, I like to call it purposeful discomfort, purposeful temporary discomfort. And it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. We stretch, we put ourselves in this purposeful temporary discomfort for a reason. It's to gain long-term benefits such as improved circulation, improved range of motion, improved posture, decreased joint stiffness, decreased muscle tension, better performance, improved ability to relax. Is it worth enduring temporary discomfort for overall health and well-being? That's the question. Is it worth it to you? Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. Scripture is full of stories of stretching. Absolutely full of stories. And if you read the Bible with your stretching glasses on, you will see it all over the place. People being stretched by others, by themselves, by God. Think of Hosea. Had to marry a prostitute. That was a bit of a stretch, most likely, for him. Think of Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all had major passive stretching sessions, which turned out to be quite helpful for them in the end. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the answer right there. It's worth it. Stretching is worth it. I encourage you, brethren, to stretch. I encourage us all to stretch, myself included. Let's stretch regularly, often, actively, passively, mentally, socially, and spiritually. Enduring discomfort in the form of self-denial or added responsibility in pursuit of greater spiritual health.